At the end of the 8:45 service, every preacher's nightmare happened to me. I got to the back and somebody said to me, "What exactly is a blessing?" I was tempted to say, "Ask the rector," but I thought that's probably a cop-out. And so I took a deep breath and a quick think, and I said, actually, a blessing is anything good that God gives to us and anything good that we can give to others. Now, if you think that was a rotten definition, you can tell me what I should have said afterwards. And so please, when we get to the end, don't ask me difficult questions. But I thought, actually, it's a very good question, because we just sort of say, "Oh, bless you." Oh, you know, and we just use the word blessing without actually thinking, what does it actually mean? And I just thought it was nice to start off. If I told you at the beginning of this talk, you have been blessed. I have been blessed. Have you been following this series in 1 Peter? If so, you've probably heard the word before. And we come now to the title of today, which is Blessed to Be a Blessing. I admit that I have missed two of this series because I've been preaching elsewhere. I missed one of them because we had a baptism and didn't follow the theme. And then I missed two because I've been on holiday in Tenerife. So let me just briefly say to you, this is the story so far, very briefly. Peter is writing to Jewish Christians who are not living in Israel, but are living in what we would now call Turkey. And they were having a hard life. They were living amongst foreigners. They weren't very popular. It was a tough, tough life. And it was a hard life. And Peter says to them, "You have been blessed." I don't think they probably thought they had been blessed. They probably didn't think that they were doing very well at all, and it was all very hard. And yet, God says to them through Peter, "You have been blessed. Look what you've got," said Peter to them. He said, "You have been given a new birth. When you became a Christian, when you knew Jesus as your Saviour, you were given a new birth. You were given salvation. All of that you have received, those are blessings, and you have the certainty that one day you will be in heaven. That is an even greater and eternal blessing." And I think each of those blessings applies to you and to me just as much as it did to those people to whom Peter was originally writing. And so, the reality is that we have been blessed amazingly. And so we come to the fact that we've been blessed, therefore, says Peter, be holy just as God is holy. Because you are a royal priesthood. And because you're a royal priesthood and because you want to live holy lives, you must accept authority, show respect to others, and love other Christians. And then we get to today's reading where Peter starts off, "Finally." And you think, oh, we've reached the end. He's going to say, "Finally, lots of love, Peter." But in fact, that word "finally" comes 53.5% of the way through the letter. I just thought you'd like to know that. Barely over halfway through and he says "finally." It reminds me of the warden who was talking to a bishop, and he said to the bishop, "We like our curate, because when he says in conclusion, he concludes. But our rector, when he says and lastly, he can't half last." So, there we are. But Peter didn't stop by saying, love other Christians. He went on, having said finally, and he said, actually, you've got to love others as well. Go way beyond loving Christians. And we know that loving Christians can be tough. You know, you've probably heard that little bit of doggerel that says, to live up above with the saints that we love is a tale of wonder and glory. But to live down below with the saints that we know is a totally different story. But there we are. But we've got to get beyond that. We've got to love all. Even, we are told, we've got to love our enemies. It's not an optional extra. It's a requirement. Love your enemies. Oh no, come on. This is getting a bit tough, really. And Jesus said the same thing. In Luke 6, which was the other reading we had at the early service, Jesus says, if someone hits you on one cheek, turn the other one. Oh, well, most people don't hit me on the cheek, so I don't have to do that. That's okay. Then he says, if someone takes your shirt, give them your coat as well, or vice versa. And we think, well, most people don't take my coat, so I don't have to give them the shirt. If Jesus had been around today, perhaps he would have given other examples that are more pertinent to us. If someone borrows your pen and then sticks it in their pocket, just let them have it. If you lend someone a fiver or a bus fare or something, don't go chasing them to get it back. Just let them have it. Those are blessings that we can practically give. And our requirement, not an optional extra, is that we have to bless others. Requirement, bless others. Let me ask you, have you heard of Eric and Margot Honecker? Hands up if you've heard of Eric and Margot Honecker. No? When I tell you, you'll say, oh yes, of course. For some of us, it's current affairs. For the younger ones amongst us, it's history. But Erich Honecker was the dictator in East Berlin, East Germany. Oh, yes, there are one, two people nodding now. Oh, yes, I know who he was. He was the ruler of East Germany before the wall came down. And his wife, Margot, was his sidekick and was in charge of the education system in East Germany before the wall came down. And in East Germany, in those days before the Berlin Wall came down, if you wanted anything, you had to be a follower of the Honeckers. You had to do what they said you had to do. You had to be the sort of people they wanted you to be. You had to be a member of the Communist Party. And if you were a Christian, well, you couldn't have a job. They did their best to hound the Christians out of East Germany. If you were a Christian, you could not get your children into a school or university. They were deprived of education in order that they would become atheistic communists and follow the Honecker line. And then the wall came down. And when the wall came down, the Honeckers became the most despised couple in Germany. Even their Communist Party deserted them. Their homes, their property was confiscated. Their possessions were removed. They were left destitute and homeless. And many of us perhaps at this point would say, and it served them right. But enter into the story, Huey Homer. You've probably never heard of Pastor Huey Homer, but at that time he was running a hostel for the homeless just in East Germany, north of Berlin. And his hostel was full of people who would otherwise be sleeping on the streets, people who would otherwise have literally nowhere to go. But his hostel was full. So he went to Eric and Margot Honecker, and he took them into his own home. His children had been deprived of a decent education, deprived of university places, deprived of a job by these people, and yet he took them into his home. That is loving your enemies. And I have to say, would we do that? Would we bless our enemies like that? And I have to be honest and say, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. Would we? An American psychiatrist, whose name I've forgotten, invented a new condition which he called EDD, Empathy Deficiency Disorder. It's an inability or an unwillingness to see things from the other person's perspective. And I suspect that we all suffer from empathy, rather lack of it, an empathy deficiency disorder. I know I do. I don't love my enemies as Jesus says I ought to. And the problem here, as always, is sin. And the answer here, as always, is Jesus. So the question is, are we here to get blessed? Or are we here to be a blessing? Because it is a requirement that we are a blessing to others. When something here doesn't suit us, or it doesn't help us worship, do we complain to one another, or are we, as it says in verse 8 of our reading this morning, be compassionate and humble, be sympathetic, love as brothers and sisters? Can we pray, Lord, I think this is a terrible service and I'm not getting anything out of it, but perhaps it is what somebody else here really needs. So please make it a blessing to them and make me a blessing to other people. That's being a blessing to others. Back in the day when I had a proper job, I had a bursar. And she had a big notice in her room that said, everybody who enters this room brings joy. Some when they enter, and others when they leave. I often wondered which end of that spectrum I was in, but she and I seemed to work well together. But yes, we want to be a blessing and bring good things to others whom we meet, not just the Christians around us, but the people with whom we disagree, the people whom we don't like. We may not like them, but we're still to love them and we're still to be a blessing to them. And the result of that is that we will be a blessing, and we will then inherit a blessing. Now that really is quite good news. And the blessing may be a temporary thing now, but more importantly, even if it isn't, there is a certainty of a blessing later on and forever. A blessing that says we will inherit a place in heaven. And that surely is a prize worth having. Now you may think that I've sort of majored on verses 8 and 9, and that's probably true, but if you look at verse 10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. That's a quote from Psalm 34. And if you know the hymn, Through All the Changing Scenes of Life in Trouble and in Joy, read Psalm 34 and think of that hymn, and you'll see where the hymn writer got all his ideas from. Through All the Changing Scenes of Life, that hymn is basically a paraphrase of part of Psalm 34. Through all the changing scenes of life in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. O magnify the Lord with me exalt his name. When in distress to him I called, he to my rescue came. How often does God come to our rescue? Every time we're in serious trouble, God will come to our rescue. So I commend Psalm 34 and that hymn to you for your homework later on. And finally, at the end of our reading, it said, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? And the answer may be that there will be other people who want to harm you if you seek to do good, because your seeking to do good may interfere with their self-seeking, selfish, ambitious ways. And then Peter goes on and says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. You are going to receive good things anyway. And the final thought, the last sentence of our reading, do not fear what they fear, do not be frightened. So do not fear what other people may think of us. Do not fear what other people may think they can do to us. Because we have been blessed. We are commanded to be a blessing to others. That's the reality of being blessed. The requirement to be a blessing, and the result, one day we will inherit an eternal blessing. So as we go from here this morning, let's go determined that we will be a blessing to everyone we see and everyone we meet this week. Amen.